Welcome to another Carlin Laid Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.
Now, today we've got another special guest.
It is a special guest, and we haven't had a guest for a while, so it's good to have someone. It's refreshing.
Yes, we've had...
Rather than just talking to you all the time.
Yeah, social distancing. We haven't been able to do this for a little while. Well, welcome to the show, Peter Dore, who was a sports editor at the Sunday Mail and the Advertiser. Welcome to the show, Peter.
Hi, Robert. How are you? Hi, Sean.
Good, mate. Okay, first off,
I don't know if I go as far as to say special guest, but a guest.
Well, we kind of want people to come back, so we always call them special. All right, mate, just tell us a little bit, before you got into newspaper business, you were a basketball of note. I believe you made the Australian under-20 basketball team, and you also were a member of West LA's 82 championship team. Tell us a little bit about how your career started as a basketballer.
Yes. So as a young fella, I probably wanted to follow in my father's footsteps. So my father was a 1960 Olympian. He went to Rome and played in the basketball team with Lindsay Gaze and a few other people, Mal Hurd and John Hurd from South Australia. So I got involved with West Adelaide, the club he was with, and started playing and went through junior basketball and seniors. And I was fortunate enough that the NBL started in 1978, and West Adelaide as a club were entered into the National Basketball League. And I became a member of that team at a young age, played state basketball and in the Australian junior team. I played with Andrew Gaze, fortunate enough to cross his path at a very young age when he was a bit of a star in juniors. So, and in 82, it culminated with the championship.
Now, Peter, people now would think, hang on, West Adelaide Bearcats. Now, I'm a basketball person, so I understand the district comp, and West Adelaide have obviously been a big part historically of the competition here in SA, but not everyone would understand that there was actually your team was in the NBL. So we think now of the 36ers, but back then it was a different setup, wasn't it?
Yes. The National League was formed by clubs and some regional teams like Newcastle, where a lot of it came out of Newcastle, but clubs like Melbourne Tigers, Geelong, Nunawading, for instance. Brisbane were a state sort of team. Sydney had club teams. And it was up to those teams to sort of enter in and then sort of be the pioneers, really, for it. So there was West Adelaide and Forestville were the other team that was in it early on. Glenelg, Nalunga were in it for 1 year.
And some of the players that came through West Adelaide at the time and played for West Adelaide in that time of basketball, I mean, I was looking up today the actual 82 championship team, and Leroy Loggins, who anyone who followed basketball of our generation would know, Al Green, who's obviously still in Adelaide, Peter Ally, Ray Wood, there were some wonderful players in that team, including yourself, of course.
Look, I was lucky enough to have the best seat in the house. That's what I used to say, on the bench watching. I did get minutes, but I spent a lot of time on the bench being a young fella. But when you've got three MVPs, so you had Ken Richardson, who was a superstar and an original MVP of the league. He was our coach. Leroy, who was arguably the best player that's ever played in the competition. And Al Green, who was just a super. No one had seen anyone like Al. All in the same team, with Peter Ally, an Olympian, Ray Wood played for Australia, and Brad Dalton, that was an Olympian. You can understand that was a pretty good team. It was a great opportunity to train with those guys, Sean, I'm telling you.
Well, Peter, what happened? What happened to your basketball career? Did you remain in Adelaide, or what happened?
No, well, back in those days, there probably wasn't, what I would say, a lot of money in it, and it wasn't something I thought at that point would probably be my career. So I went off to Cairns, and at that point I had done an apprenticeship as a boilermaker welder, of all things, and the first lot of submarine jobs were in Cairns. So to Cairns I went to see if I could get into building subs. And obviously you like to pass time playing sports, so I started playing basketball, which then led me to be recruited to go to Darwin. And in Darwin, I was given the work opportunity through my basketball to do an adult cadetship with the Northern Territory News.
Gee, they've got some good headlines in that paper, haven't they?
Yes, that was Croc Central. Croc Central. So so I did an adult cadetship at that point for 18 months, and then I was taken on as a sports journalist for the Northern Territory News, and I worked there for 3 years as a sports journalist, and went back to Melbourne and tried out with the Ngunnawal Inspectors and played the first 3 games of the Ngunnawal Inspectors, and then I was cut and they brought a guy in called Arnie Duncan, and I went on to become the editor of the Australian Basketball Magazine.
Wow. And then, look, first time I met you was at the Sunday Mail in the 90s. I was the baseball writer there for the Giants and you were my editor there. How did you get that job in Adelaide as the first off the Sunday Mail and then the advertiser?
All right, so I went from the Australian Basketball. I was invited back to, or lured back to the Territory to be the sports editor for the Sunday Territorian and the NT News. And from there, I went to England for 6 months on a exchange. And I worked at the Today paper, the News of the World and the Sun. And I came back and I went to Melbourne. I was asked to go back to the Herald Sun. So I was taken from the Northern Territory News to the Herald Sun. And from the Herald Sun, I worked, I think, 2 years, 3 years. And then Jeff Roach approached me to come and work as the chief sub, they would call it back then, which is sort of the deputy sports editor. And then from there, I became the Sunday Territorian sports editor and the Advertiser sports editor.
So what year was that, Peter, when you first came back to Adelaide then?
I reckon I came back just before the Crows won the premiership in 96, 97, and the paper changed from a broadsheet. I think I worked there for maybe a year in broadsheet, and I was in the team that developed the paper as a tabloid.
Well, that was the question I was going to ask, because like the 90s was so big with the Crows, obviously, early on getting established and then initially in the AFL and obviously leading to their back-to-back premiership. So that must have been a pretty interesting time in the sports editing in South Australia, in Adelaide.
Oh, exceptionally exciting. Exceptionally, the Crows were giant. As you can imagine, Port came in 97, so that was, you know, a really enthralling time because of the history behind Port Adelaide's failed entry and then the Crows entering. I was a Glenelg supporter myself, but I barracked for Essendon because most of my stars, as in Western and a few others from Glenelg, went to Essendon. But yes, it was. And the first year in 97, it was a broadsheet, and in 98, when they went back to back, it was a tabloid paper then, as in size.
Now you mentioned the Bombers there, and I've been a Bomber supporter for a long time, but I struggled after the drug sort of scandal. What's your take on that? And has that affected your sort of support of them?
No, I followed them. I thought James Heard was my hero, and I was just so disappointed how that all played out. Shauna, of all things, small world, my brother-in-law used to play for Essendon. So my brother-in-law's Kieran's born.
Oh, yeah.
So Kieran played for Essendon, and when I was at the Herald Sun, he was playing for Essendon. So I was at the club affair, went to the club a bit. I sort of backed them through because there was probably a lot of people at that club that really didn't understand what was going on, and decisions made by a few affected many, and I don't think that should have swayed me, so I've just stayed with them. I share in taking some of the jokes. Most people say, you know, do you get a needle with your membership? And I sort of laugh and take it on board, but it's just one of those things. Once I bat for a club, I'm stuck with them.
Now, Peter, you were talking about your family history a little bit there, about your dad playing for Australia and all that, but what about... you've got a cousin that played baseball for Australia, Puckett, is that correct?
That's correct, yes. That's my uncle was Max Puckett, who they named the MVP of the local competition after. And my cousin was Grant Puckett, who played for the Adelaide Giants and was in the Australian team, I think, for the 84 Olympics or World Games they went to. So Yeah, I had a bit to do. Played a little bit of baseball when I was younger, but not a great deal.
I know from my experience as a baseball man that you always had that sympathy for baseball, so I was much appreciative of that.
Oh, look, I think baseball was one of those, when it was at Norwood, like me and you have talked about that before, Rob, but I thought, you know, that was the bee's knees. I remember when the Giants would have, you know, 10,000 people stuffed into Norwood Oval, all round the sides and everywhere, and the Giants would play, and the great Trex and, you know, Alexander and some of the players they had, Timmy Day, they were fantastic years. And it's just unfortunate that in those leagues it's very hard to sustain it. And the cost of paying for players and running things doesn't match up with sponsorship and TV rights, really, and there was no TV rights.
Pete, what would you say, like, over your time with the advertiser Thunder Mail, would be your most intriguing story?
Intriguing story. Oh, we've had a few. I was there when I got called and was told that somebody had killed the Crows coach. That was very, very, very intriguing. There's a lot of stories in a lot of different sports, Sean. It's pretty hard. You've sort of got me on the hop. I'm trying to think about some that might be, you know, like there's Port Adelaide and the Crows are thrown up. We had the Tippett saga, which was just immense because all of a sudden here was the club that, you know, had the player and it was all a done deal. And then next thing there was a salary cap issue. That was pretty big. There was Lance Armstrong being here and then getting done for the drugs and having people in town that had been in his team that had to be confronted. That was, you know, and the money the state government had done. We chased a few things up there. So they're probably pretty big ones in that sense. You know, some great stories. You know, Anna Mears and the broken back and coming back from something like that. It's an unbelievable sort of story to follow through on. Stuart O'Grady admitting, you know, that he was caught up in what was basically a normal practice for a tour rider. You know, that was a pretty big story as well. So, you know, there's a fair few. It's hard to put your finger on one because they're also sort of different.
What about events like, for instance, the AFL Grand Final at the MCG or Melbourne Cups or Adelaide Cups or the Olympics. What, in your mind, are your favourite events to be writing about?
Well, I was fortunate enough to go, in my role, I was invited to the AFL Grand Final. So, you know, I'm very, very fortunate to have been to 10 straight. And I have reporters there. And as you know, Robert, a lot of the time, my job's more in a managing role, as in what the editorial is and what it will be and who's delivering it and how that will play out in the paper. So I wasn't, in a sense, reporting on the games, but those events are fantastic. I was, you know, lucky enough to listen to people like Jonathan Brown and Harry Keel and that address people before grand finals. I think they're great. You know, Mackayvie Diva when, not Mackayvie, Black Caviar, when they came to Adelaide for the Adelaide Cup Carnival was unbelievable with the salmon and black and everyone wearing it and the crowd was phenomenal event. First supercars after the F1s was unreal. I harp back again when we Lance Armstrong was here, was, you know, bigger than Texas, so to speak, before his indiscretions. So they're probably some of the bigger events. You know, there's been a lot of national and international stars come. I'm lucky enough to go to a Super Bowl in the States, so that was a very big eye-opener. So some lucky events. You know, there's a cricket. Some of the cricket we've had here is phenomenal.
Well, Peter, you know, you've lived a sporting supporter's life there, mate. You've been everywhere. Now, we'll definitely want to have you on again sort of in the near future, but our time is just about up. So thank you very much.
No,
So ends another Carlin Lades sports show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.